Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page XXXI, paragraph 3 in the doctor's opinion, and it begins with, "When I need a mental uplift," and we're going to read clear to the end of this particular piece, ending on XXXII, William D. Silkworth, M.D. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen K., the 12 Traditions, Margaret N., and reading the text today in support, Laura R., Leslie M., Kara L. Elaine B. will greet newcomers and get sponsor telephone numbers, and Robin P. will give announcements. Both of those pieces will be at the unrecorded 10 minutes, last 10 minutes of the meeting, so stick around for that. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, which was Monday the 24th of August, 15209, 15,209. And then this morning, the 7 a.m. meeting that already happened, which would be Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, is 15214, 15,214. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen Kay to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
And a happy Tuesday to everybody. My name is Karen. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, not cured, and my credits don't transfer, from sunny Syracuse, New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact as we understood our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass, and it's been wonderful to be of service the month of August.
Thank you, Karen Kay. I will now ask Margaret N. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. This is Margaret N., a gutter drunk, compulsive overeater in recovery for 62 days now in Loomis, California. So the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service for August, and I pass.
Thank you, Margaret N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and this would include a quiet recording as well. I wanted to ask that if you all press the star 1 key function only for muting purposes, that way it doesn't interfere with technology here in a quiet, smooth meeting. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the doctor's opinion. We're going to finish up the doctor's opinion today. Start, though, by looking at page XXXI, paragraph 3, beginning with, when I need a mental uplift. And then we're going to read through to the end where William D. Silkworth signs his name at the end there. And I would like to ask Laura R. to begin the study today by reading all of those paragraphs today and then share on what the directions have meant to her in those paragraphs. And then we'll open it up to the remainder of the fellowship after that for sharing. Hi, Laura.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. When I need a mental uplift, I often think of another case brought in by a physician prominent in New York. The patient had made his own diagnosis and, deciding his situation hopeless, had hidden in a deserted barn determined to die. He was rescued by a searching party and in desperate condition brought to me. Following his physical rehabilitation, he had a talk with me in which he frankly stated he thought the treatment a waste of effort unless I could assure him, which no one had ever had, that in the future he would have the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. His alcoholic problem was so complex and his depression was so great that we felt his only hope would be through what we then called moral psychology, and we doubted if even that would have any effect. However, he did become sold on the ideas contained in this book. He has not had a drink for a great many years. I see him now and then, and he is a fine specimen of a manhood as one could wish to meet. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. William D. Silkworth, M.D. Wow. So grateful to be here. Seriously, so grateful to be here. I'm so glad I found the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And I don't know, what's striking me this morning is the words, hopeless, desperate condition. going then to willpower. I just, you know, I think of before the rooms of recovery of what, where I stand, you know, before I come in to learn this way of living. And I just, you know, deem myself as hopeless or, you know, think I have to muscle up the willpower to figure out my problems. And it is so amazing that, you know, it's good to be hopeless when we come into these rooms and be in a desperate condition. Thank God I was, because when the message was brought to me, I was able to accept it, just like the gentleman in this book did. He was sold on the ideas in this book. But yeah, you know, it, I thought I had to have the willpower. We learned in Bill's story, you know, he had willpower, then he had knowledge, then he had, you know, it was fear. None of those things will keep us sober. And that's what we think we need in order to solve our problems. So what's so beautiful is that when, you know, we come in that desperate, you know, desperate condition and think that we need willpower and someone says, hey, no, actually you need to surrender. You need to like lay down all your will and just stop, you know, the fight and put down your arms and just put the flag up and say, hey, I know nothing, you know, set aside everything I think I know for an open mind to a new experience about this journey. And for me, when someone shared the problem that I have a mental obsession and I have a physical allergy that once I pick up some my substances, I'm off to the races. But then once I put them down, all forms, every single thing, you know, and that's what I think is so difficult with food, is that we have to be 100% honest with ourselves. And I think this is really about honesty. And for me, I want the easier, softer way. You know, I don't, I'm like, no, don't tell me you have to let me, I have to let that go and that go and that go. It's hard and it's scary. You know, there's a line in the book that says what used to be the flimsy reed has proven to be the loving hand of God. And I paraphrase that, but you know, it's so amazing that for me, when, you know, my Evie came to me and told me that she was neutral, told me what the problem was and that there's a solution, that I had to lay down all my substances. And at that time it was, I just thought it was sugar and all natural sweeteners. I didn't realize that there was anything else that I had to put down. Thank God for sponsorship where they teach you about, you know, we really look at all, everything. And it took me about 3 years to finally put everything down. I had a strong grip on that. But what's so beautiful is that I did know that there was a different way in these rooms. And I heard it by coming to a Vision for You, a strong OA meeting, that, you know, we look at this book and we learn what the problem is and learn the solution. For me, and I love this guy, he became sold on the ideas contained in this book. I think I wasn't, like, again, for my story, it took me a while to get honest with myself.
Time.
Thank you. But you know what? I did. I finally got honest, and I will remain to pray, and I will keep coming back. Thank you, Melanie. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. The lines are now open for additional comments on those paragraphs. Let me tell you one more time. We're on page XXXI. Third paragraph, when I need a mental uplift, and we're going to comment on all those paragraphs clear through the end of this particular chapter, ending with William D. Silkworth. If you would like to share on those, give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and I can start a lineup for you. And although we do really cherish all experience here, that we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday and Monday, maybe your time for sharing would be tomorrow in keeping with this particular gentle request. So I'm ready to take a lineup.
Laura T.
Heather
Laura
W.
Laura G. Heather W.
Shandel S.
Shandel S.
Arena.
Like Sam?
Yes, please.
Elaine G. Florida. Elaine G. Florida.
Robin P.
Robin P. Let's go with that. This seems like a nice one. Okay, this is what I have. Laura G. Heather W. Shandel S. Rowena K. Elaine G. And Robin P. So you're up first, Laura G., followed by Heather. Good morning to you. A quick star
good
one
morning.
Will get you heard. Oh, there you
okay.
are.
Okay. Yes. Good morning. This is Laura, and it's T as in Tom.
Okay.
I am a compulsive overeater. I haven't read the doctor's opinion since my first time reading it. And The very last line, of course, struck me. Though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. I didn't come to OA to scoff, for sure. But I had no idea I was coming to pray. And it wasn't until, you know, I hoped to pray. I guess I hoped to hear from a higher power, but I didn't really think that I would. I thought it was, okay, I'm going to learn how to, you know, control my eating. I'm going to learn how to have willpower. And after working through the steps and especially working through 6 and 7, just kind of delving into those, my sponsor kept giving me more and more to do with 6 and 7. Ironically, the shortest in the big book, but just kept at me with, okay, now answer these questions, and okay, now let's talk about this. I started looking back and thinking of all the coincidences and all of the new ideas that had come to me from out of the blue, and all of the understanding and serenity, I guess, especially after step 4. And by the time I was finished with step 7, I realized that I didn't even come to Overeaters Anonymous to control my eating. I was brought here because of these bigger issues in my life that led me to overeat and to binge, and I have stayed to pray. And my abstinence continues. I am 66 days in the program and 66 days abstinent, and I have never felt better, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And it hasn't been easy. I'm not saying it was just one big joyride and, wow, this is, you know, the panacea for everything that's wrong. But it's something special. And I'm going to stay here to pray. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura T. Heather W., you're next, and then Shane S. will follow you.
Hey, y'all. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Super grateful, as always, to be on the line. And, wow, I mean, the doctor's opinion, it's just, every time, it just hits me. I just got done reading this with a sponsee yesterday. And what really popped out at me is, you know, hidden in that deserted barn and what determined to die. And, wow, I've been there, you know, not literally a deserted barn, right? But my own living room with the doors locked and the phone turned off and the window shut and just me walking back and forth to the refrigerator, you know, over and over, me back and forth to the cabinet, you know, where I just say, where I've just given up and pretty much just said, you know, oh, well, it doesn't matter. And I'm just going to eat whatever, you know, because I knew I didn't have the willpower, you know. And then the morning would come, or the Monday would come, or the new year would come, and I'd say, okay, you know, I'm going to do it now. I'll have this willpower, you know, I'll go on the diet, I'll go on the life change. And then in a couple of days, you know, if you're like me, you all know, that firm resolve would be abandoned, and I'd be, you know, right back. And what the doctor opinion taught me, thank God, is, right, is that I have this physical allergy, you know. So there's no amount of willpower, nothing that I say in my mind is going to stop this physical bodily allergy, right? It's like if someone was like, well, I'm going to go run around and poison ivy, but I won't get a rash because I'm going to will it in my mind not to get a rash. It doesn't work that way. You're going to get a rash. That's how it is with me and the food. There's no amount of willpower. It doesn't work that way. I'll never have it because it's a physical bodily allergy, right? You know, and just, wow, thank God that I know that. As was shared, thank God for sponsorship and someone telling me what entire abstinence is, what it means, entire means entire, and that if I want to have neutrality from food, I have to put down all the foods that stop me from staying neutral, you know, and that's step 1. very important step, but just the first step. Then I have to become sold on all the ideas contained in this program. That's the rest of the steps. You know, I'm taking step one here, but now I got to do 2 through 12, you know, and I got to live in 10, 11, and 12 for the rest of my life. You know, I got to remain to pray. That is the solution. I'm so, so grateful I found this solution. I'm so, so grateful I never have to go back to that deserted barn. I never, ever, ever have to eat compulsively again. I mean, wow, it's just literally that is a miracle every day. So thank you all for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Heather W. Shandel S., you're up now, and then Rowena K. will follow you.
Hi, my name is Shandel S. I'm recovered from New York. Thank you so much for your service. I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm also going to focus on and hit it in a deserted barn, determined to die. Like 6 months ago, I was just at my lowest bottom. I was just, I couldn't really move. My body was so heavy and my knees were killing me. The amount of food that I needed was just unbelievable to just make it through a day emotionally. Sorry. And it even got so bad, I've shared it with other people, is that like I went to the store and I would like look at like a pint of ice cream or a half a gallon of ice cream, and I couldn't even buy it because the pain of knowing that I'll just eat it quick and it still wouldn't be enough and I would want more. It was just so much greater than that I couldn't even, the thought of buying it was painful, but I still bought it. And I couldn't move from all the sugar that I ate and the ups and downs of my emotions, because I would just have to sleep for hours after all that I ate, and I would be irritable and the discontent. And I just, my father, I'm 51, and my father died from this disease at 60. He was going to lose a foot to diabetes, and he was one year in rehab where the hospital, he never came home, and then he died. And even knowing that, and I thought when we went through his stuff, I kept his, at one point I kept his, like all the results from his test results showing like limited, you know, limited circulation because of the diabetes and everything like that. And I thought that would stop me from eating, but no amount of, and my kids, I have older kids, and they were telling me, you know, we want you to be around. We don't want you to die. And I still couldn't stop eating. And it was just a mess. I feel like tears in my eyes. It was just such a mess, the life I was living. And yeah, I have challenges, but everybody has challenges. And today I'm so grateful for this program and for this doctor's opinion and for a vision for you that shows me that I do have an allergy of the body, and I just can't pick up any of those substances that will cause my body to react that way. Also, eating behaviors I had to be honest with that will also trigger me to want to pick up. And then I must work the rest of this program because the solution is the spiritual solution and my relationship with God and with the support of this program. And that's the answer. And there's no way that I could do that unless I put down the food and commit to working this program. So I'm super grateful. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Shandel S. Rowena K., you're up next. And then Elaine G.
Thanks, Melanie. Hello, my name is Rowena Kay, and it's really good to hear all of your voices today. Yeah, I really like the idea of the searching party, and I kind of relate that to OA. I know OA isn't a searching party, but somehow it does kind of shine a light on a lot of things. I think some of the things that stand out. You know, he talks about having the willpower to resist the impulse to drink. And, there is no willpower in resisting the urge to drink. You know, it is, I realize it's not about struggling. It's just about letting go and handing it over to my higher power, or calling a fellow and saying, you know, I can't do this. Can you help me? Or not even asking for help, just acknowledging my powerlessness. Most of the time actually takes away the urge. And I also like how it talks about his problem was so complex and his depression so great, because that's what my life is like when I'm in my own when I'm in my solution is to isolate. My solution is the food. But when I'm, you know, in the solution, then, you know, a lot of things that seem complex and depression that seems so great become less so. I'm a relapser, and all that I do know is that I don't know. And, you know, I just keep coming back and doing the things that other people say work for them. And I feel quite grateful to have a sponsor who hasn't, you know, told me to get lost. And the other thing is about moral psychology. You know, the thing that I actually do know is that it's a spiritual solution, you know, because my answers get me tangled up in knots all the time. And it's kind of a mystery, the whole spiritual solution, because no one really can tell you what it is. Well, not that I know anyway. It's just about handing over and trusting that something out there that's bigger than me does actually know what's going on, and you know, it's going to help me. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rowena K. Next up is Elaine G., and then followed by Robin P. So in, let's see, I think in 6 minutes or so, we're going to open up for additional shares doing the math there. So get ready for that. So hello, Elaine.
Hello, this is Elaine G., and I can actually say I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. It took me a while to get that grateful part of it, but I am so grateful. What jumps out for me is the statement that his alcoholic problem was so complex, because in the course of my addiction and my compulsion, I made my addiction complex. I made it complex by hiding in my house, isolating from people, keeping from away from other people when I was in a situation where I had to be around others. I like to say that I'm an Oscar Award winner because I put on performances that surprise myself when I look back at them, trying to make people believe that I was happy, everything was okay. I was really, really good at that. What I've learned through this and through the steps is that my compulsion is not complex. It is simple. The simplicity is I have a twist of the mind and I have a biological predisposition to overeat. It's just those two things. The other complex part for me was that I tried every imaginable thing out there. And I know that there are others listening on the line who know exactly what I'm talking about, and you're nodding your head up and down. This gift that we have been given has one simple solution. It's right there for us. All we have to do, I like to say, is put my hand out no matter where I am, and my higher power is right there and takes my hand without me even asking. I just have to show him, her, however you perceive your higher power, that I am willing. I am willing. And as we go through the step and we clean up the past and we move on forward, I have such great joy and feel so privileged that my higher power has decided I am worthy to be used to do his work and to help others. I thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine G. Robin P., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines in 3 short minutes to others to comment on paragraph 3, page XXXI of the doctor's opinion, and it begins with when I need a mental uplift, and we're going to talk about actually finishing up that chapter. So read them all, share on them all, but in the meantime, we're going to listen to Robin P. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And thanks so much for your service and for everyone's shares. You know, he was so hopeless. Oh, my goodness. You know, to go to that place where you just say, okay, the only hope is I'm just going to let myself die alone here. That's just, you know, that's just hopeless. And what this program's given me is hope. And, you know, to hide in a deserted barn, determined to die, because that's the only solution that he had left in his mind. It's just, I've been there emotionally, you know, just on my knees, please, God, if you exist, please kill me. I mean, that was my fervent prayer before I came into this program. And now it's the opposite of that. You know, thank you so much. So much to be grateful for. So much life to be grateful for. So much, you know, I have my meals and I have my life. And, you know, my meals are my sustenance. They are my medicine. They are not my drug today, thank God. And, you know, his willpower, just there was no way that willpower was going to work, just like with me. And he felt like everybody gave up on him. They just thought he was so hopeless. And that's the miracle of recovery for me today. You know, and then now he's a fine specimen of manhood. You know, wow, that's just amazing. And I feel like people always say to me, I'm such a positive person and I'm so joyful. And I'm an inventor, so I'm also really creative and I invent things that help people. And, you know, people always think these things. And, wow, if they saw me when I was in the disease, I was so hopeless and morose and in despair. I was in so much despair. And, you know, I just really loved this whole letter from Dr. Silkworth. And he was so brave to do it because at the time he was definitely ahead of his time. And he was just coming from his heart instead of his head. And that's just such a wonderful thing for a physician to do. I'm just really grateful. I'm just to be able to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. You know, I grew up in a lot of child abuse, and my definition of God has just been so transformed. And to learn to have faith and trust in a power greater than the disease and greater than the dis-ease, and to really have a faith that works, that's the miracle of this recovery. And the miracle of this program. And God bless everybody. Hi. With a very active, blessed day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. Again, the lines are going to be open for folks to comment on those paragraphs, paragraph 3 through the end of the particular chapter on page XXXI, the doctor's opinion. If you give your first name, the first initial of your last name, and be mindful that if you've shared recently, within the last 3 days, that you would consider waiting until tomorrow or the next day to share again so others might be able to share their experience too. Another consideration, you might want to offer your state when you come on to give your name when your sharing time comes up, because folks might want to look you up on the membership list to give you a call. And that's always handy to have that identifier. So if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, we can get another line up here.
Karen K.
Barbara
B.
Aaron B.
Karen K.
Barbara W.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I only got Karen K. So let me go
Connie
with
B.
Karen K. Connie B.
Cynthia C.
Aaron B.
Barbara
Aaron B.
W.
Barbara W. Aaron B. And then
Cynthia,
I said, Cynthia, did I hear you? Yeah, I got you. And that's
yeah.
All I'm going to go with right now and see what happens. I might get more, so don't go too far, anybody, but this is what I have so far. Karen K., Connie B., Aaron B., Barbara W., and Cynthia C. So let's start with Karen first, and maybe we can hear your state too, Karen, so folks can call you.
Good morning. I'm Karen K. from Syracuse, New York. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, but not cured, and my credits don't transfer. What really sticks out for me is this is the beginning of step one. The consequences of food and the steps are the miracle of it. And what I really, really like, and I love the whole thing, but they had to point out one punch that really stuck out for me is the part that about moral psychology and what must happen is a spiritual awakening. Along when I do the steps, I need to surrender. I need to put down my alcoholic foods. I must be honest with myself, God, and another human being, and in all of my affairs. It's just not with the food. It's called sobriety of body, mind, and spirit. And it talks about that in this last And also, I'm the only one that can diagnose what if I'm a compulsive eater or not. And I'm very grateful for a vision for you that brought the light for me that my 30 years in AA and my 30 years in Al-Anon did not transfer into OA. And I'm grateful for my awakening. With that, I'll pass, and thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Karen Kay. And I'm going to correct what I said in terms of the next person that's going to share, and her name is Honeybee. If you press star one, please, we can get your share on for 3 minutes. And if you give your state, that would be great, too. Star one, please. Honeybee. Okay,
can you hear
so
me?
In the interest of now
Hello?
I can hear you. Yeah, hi, Honey.
Oh,
yep,
hi.
You're ready to go.
Hi, this is Connie B. Recovered today in Florida. I used to be, I guess, a lot more involved in this meeting. I listen, but I haven't shared in a while, and I just felt this nudge today to share. And so I really believe it's my higher power, guiding me. To share something that came up in the reading that I heard that just resonated so deeply was the complexity of the addiction. The simple, putting down foods and behaviors is one thing, but I truly, day by day, I see how my addiction is cultivated in relationships, in my experiences of watching others, and I continue to ask God to give me a new experience, because coming in here, like, my head was literally the size of like a peephole, and I didn't know there could be anything greater. I didn't know that there could be anything more lighter, anything more, we talk about hope, but I didn't know what hope meant. And today, hope to me is something, it's a message, it's a life, it's living life. And to know that there is so much opportunity when we ask God to give us a new experience in how we view our marriages and how we view our families and how we view our relationships and how we view the depths of our healing. And I'm so deeply grateful to God that I can stand here today really, I guess I'm fairly young woman, and the changes in my life, I just am so humbled by. I didn't know it was even possible that God could truly make me anew. The food was the depth of despair, but there was so much despair under the food, and there was so much healing that I didn't know was possible. So thank you for letting me share, and wishing everyone much serenity today, peace. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honey B. Erin B., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Barbara W. will follow you.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, yeah. I'll let
okay,
you know.
Okay, great.
So you can just jump right in.
Thank you. My name is Erin B., and I'm newly recovered in Reno, Nevada. And I love, first of all, thank you, everybody, for your service. I love the doctor's opinion. I love everything I've read in the first, 164 pages of this book. But, the idea of being hidden in a barn, I wasn't actually hidden in a barn, but I was trapped in a body that was 5'11" and nearly 500 pounds. And one of the biggest revelations for me as I've worked through the steps is, I came in as an agnostic and kind of was very unsure about my spiritual grounding. And one of the things I realized is, as I, went through step 4 through 9, is I actually had several gods. My mom was a god. My bosses were gods. My brother was a god. And when I say God, what I mean is that my worth and value was wrapped up in what I thought they thought about me, who I thought they wanted me to be, what they said to me, what I thought they wanted me to do. And I did everything to please them, to be what I thought they wanted me to be. And my solution for all of the pain and turmoil and frustration that that caused me was food. You know, I've heard about others who have, you know, lashed out at those around them and taken that pain and anger outward. I always directed it inward. You know, I was the one holding the whip, and I was using it on myself. The miracle of this program, and it definitely is a miracle, because I was knocking on death's door at that weight. But today I'm developing a relationship with a kinder, higher power. I have stayed to pray, and you know, I'm still in the process of I'm not, you know, I used to be in the process of trying to define what that was and trying to identify it so that I could, you know, have a concrete picture in my head. But I've actually, through the steps, managed to let go of that as well. I've managed to realize that I don't have to have an image in my head of what my higher power is in order to have a spiritual awakening, to have a life where I am, you know, taking the next right action, where I am finally freed from that anger and turmoil. And I'm eternally grateful. I'm eternally grateful for my sponsor. I'm eternally grateful for Vision for You. My husband, I could not be more blessed. And I realize I'm running out of time. So thank you so much. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Erin B. from Nevada. Barbara W., you're up next with your 3 minutes. Love to hear where you're from.
Good morning. My name is Barbara W., and I am from Washington State. And what I noticed in this finishing, when these finishing lines in this story of Doctor's Opinion, were the deciding that my situation was hopeless and had hidden in a deserted barn, determined to die. I actually had an ancestor who came from Scotland, and in 1916 he was found in a deserted barn and either had died or was dying. And my understanding is that he had deserted his family, and here he is in a deserted barn. And what he obviously had thought that his situation was hopeless, that he had no one. And here I am recovering, just about recovered from compulsive overeating, that I thought many times my situation was hopeless. Like at age 74, how in heaven's name could I not figure out how to stay abstinent? I've been in program 43 years. And believe me, I got discouraged. I could have been the person in that barn for all I know. But somehow I stayed away from it, or I either got there and got the heck out of that barn, because I knew that my higher power, whom I choose to call God, I was reclaiming my trust in my higher power, and knowing that my disease wants me in a deserted barn, but my recovery wants me to shine my light and serve others and bring them to a point where they can find recovery. And here I am on the crest. I'm on step 12 with my sponsor. I'm on the crest of claiming and offering as a sponsor in just a couple of weeks. And I find that exciting. I'm not in a deserted barn. My mind isn't there. And I am free to shine my light. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara W. from Washington. Cynthia C., you're up for three. Want to tell us where you're from? That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts. And I am just exceptionally grateful to remember that there was a 10 a.m. meeting today mm-hmm. and to get on it. Just so grateful when it popped up in my calendar reminder. So I think what I want to share about is, again, the concept of being someone being in the barn and being hopeless. And I think what I want to say is that even in recovering, and I have to say, I work the steps of this program according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, like my hair is on fire. I do. This is by far the most important thing that I do, is staying recovered and working the steps and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 every single day. Because if I don't, I lose it all. And recently, I found that I was holding on to resentment. And I was craving a lot of food. And granted, COVID has been hard, and there's a lot of things going on in my family life and my work life that are just really high crisis oriented. And but that wasn't it. Like, I'm working the steps, and I'm working the steps, and I'm working the steps, and I can't understand, why am I not letting go of my resentment? And why am I craving food? And, you know, I part of what I wanted to say is that there was hope. Like, it took me a little while to really hear the message from my higher power, which was, I was hanging on to foods that probably 97% of the people, you know, here in these meetings can eat, you know, with impunity, that people can eat with no consequence. It is fine. It is abstinence for them. It is perfectly fine. And yet I had to realize those simple, basic foods were not working for me. And even in recovery, I had to realize, even with my weighed and measured foods, you know, I had to accept that, you know, that this wasn't working for me. You know, that this wasn't working for me. And as soon as I accepted that and worked with my dietitian to create a new food plan for myself, I have to tell you, those resentments that I was holding on to fell away. You know, that there was hope, that it was, for me, my body, as Dr. Silkworth talks about, there's the allergy of the body and the strange mental twist of the mind. And I didn't even realize that there were still basic foods that are fine for other people to eat that were making me a little nutty, you know. And once I let go of those foods, those resentments, you know, once I fully accepted that my body cannot process these foods that are fine for other people, you know, the resentments fell away. But I wasn't trying to control and enjoy foods, that it just, everything shifted and everything changed. So, you know, even in recovery, we find ourselves getting into challenging places and we're starting to give up hope, sort of, you know, like, I knew there was something else. I knew this wasn't okay for me to feel this way. And I'm so grateful that as soon as I let that go, and I just truly said to my dietitian, you know, who specializes in sugar addiction, you know, which sugar comes in other foods too that are like naturally occurring, you know, I said, whatever, I'll just do whatever you think is right for me right now. I let go and I will do it. And everything shifts. Everything shifts when I let go of my control. And I realized that across the board, you know, across the board, I was feeling hopeless. Thank you. I just want to say that there's hope in program and keep coming back. Thank you so much for your service today.
Thank you very, very much. Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. That was lovely to be able to have those dates, so y'all can look those up if you'd like to. We've come to the end of the sharing part and the recorded part of our meeting. We're going to close out this part with a serenity prayer and the actually with a reading from page 164, then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer. But stick around. We have 10 more minutes of unrecorded time that we want to share with you. We'd like to have you join us for that. Thank you, everyone, that was of service this month and a vision for you. It made this meeting possible for all of us to reinforce our program, and especially for those that are still suffering from this disease of compulsive overeating, so they know that they don't have to anymore. grateful for that. So I'd like to ask Leslie M., please, to please read on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that up pretty quickly with a serenity prayer. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Thank you, Melanie. I am Leslie M. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We should be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.